This week on Crime World.
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave. 1919, 1920, there's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.
Seachtain, an Indo Ascaliga.
Time I mon iroctí a yen of chacht ar a chorp, agus súligam a machan seo, gur féidir é a chur in uig ceart lena bhaintir féin.
Scíltí, fís, turmi.
Tá sé dochreitse nach bhéadach ara i gcúrna meán an cheist sin a eicáil.
Bhí an tálam a gináam gribh orcháir na reachtam. Iadach sé tórin gribh an orcháir stán i lis dúhal agus gimine fnacht gór a clig sár ducha sin eachar. Nau ni bhin aon dár dárach sin, bhin marav.
Seachtain. Find us on all the usual podcast platforms.
Very welcome to the Left Wing Live. Well, Ireland are still in the fight in the Six Nations. It was a flattering scoreline, but they beat a 14-man England, 32 points to 15 at Twickenham today. James Lowe, Hugo Keenan, Jack Conan and Finlay Beelam with the tries for Ireland. Now, Rory O'Connor and Dave Kelly are at Twickenham for us. Rory, let's just start with the bottom line first. A bonus point win for Ireland. What a test match.
Yeah, incredible tonight. I mean, a really strange game. A record win for Ireland in Twickenham. A bonus point in a venue that Ireland traditionally have, you know, don't do very well in. And yet, a game that completely turned on a 90-second red card, which can't be ignored. And a game in which some of the fundamentals of Ireland's game absolutely fell apart. And it's going to take a while to quite process the whole thing. Ultimately, it keeps their title dreams alive. It keeps their hopes of a Triple Crown firmly within their own hands. And that's a real positive for this team, who I think have targeted that from the off. That's their goal, to win it, to win something during this window. But I think they'd be deluding themselves if they didn't recognise that the scrum was absolutely eviscerated and that their leadership kind of disappeared halfway through that game. And with 50 minutes to go, it looked like England were going to do it. And they tired and Ireland exploited that, and they did well to do so. But yeah, really weird. Like, wins here should be celebrated. It doesn't happen very often, and ultimately it's a great result, and you can't ignore that. But when the dust settles, Andy Farrell and his team, and in particular John Fogarty, the scrum coach, have an awful lot of work to do, because I'd say Razzie Erasmus and his coaching ticket, who Ireland will face in the World Cup, will be licking their lips at that scrum performance. You know, that was really, really shocking, and can't happen again. You know, that's the bottom line.
Yeah, Dave, I mean, Ireland shot themselves in the foot at times. The final scoreline flattered them. They didn't have that cohesion that Eddie Jones said that Ireland would have. The scrum, the penalty count as well. Did we see any of that coming?
Well, if you kind of separate the those outstanding moments in terms of the sending off, the scrum penalties, and if you remove them for a moment, Ireland should have been able to control the game with a pace and tempo, which is not necessarily going to be over elaborate, but just to dominate with one extra man. They had neither the wit nor the width to do that, and they just lacked a lot of composure. I wrote this morning about a lack of leadership, possibly a reliance on experience, and the experience didn't bring anything new to the party today. That was the worrying thing for me. You know, they say you can't win without a scrum, and it happened here in 2012 with Ross and Tom Court. It nearly got them today, but even with those scrum penalties, Ireland should have been smart enough to know how to intellectually and dynamically dominate the game against an England side who we have seen, and they did produce a wonderful bit of attacking play, but an England side who are way, way below Ireland's level in terms of development. And that's the worrying thing in terms of the development of this Irish team. It was sufficient until the day thereof, but in terms of you get a feeling about games, and aside from the scrum penalties and the scoreboard, there was never a feeling that Ireland were in control, only into the last 10 minutes. And at that stage, England was spent, exhausted, couldn't put numbers in at the breakdown, where Ireland finally got success and finally put some faces together. But what happened at that 60 minutes when the game was there for the taking and Ireland couldn't take it, that's actually quite worrying. It's not a huge backward step because, you know, the scoreboard doesn't have any pictures, but it's kind of worrying just in terms of the headspace of these experienced players that are hanging on, a lot of them. Peter Manny, Johnny Sexton, Keane Healy, Conor Murray. There has to be a little bit of a sea change maybe towards the summer of where Ireland are going in terms of that experience.
Yeah, what about that, Rory? Just that inability to problem solve on the hoof.
Yeah, like that's exactly it, Sinead. I mean, their discipline went, you know, and it wasn't young, inexperienced, callow players who were giving away the penalties. It was Johnny Sexton, it was Ian Henderson repeatedly. I mean, the scrum, you know, they'll have to figure that out. They were kind of complaining to the referee an awful lot, but it's within their gift to get dominance there, and they didn't do it. You know, it was really, really poor in that department. But they weren't clever enough to either take a knee, to kind of figure that out, like they didn't have time to review the footage. We all remember that cup final when Greg Beat got the Leinster scrum or the scrum together and they figured out what Northampton had been doing.
But the problem with the first half, Rory, with the scrum, they were forcing the play too often, playing so close to the game. There was no need with an extra man, so they're actually causing their own scrum implosion by reducing the scrums to really sloppy play. The amount of balls that went to ground. Simple plays. I mean, again, it wasn't elaborate. I mean, the first try was beautiful. Created an overlap on the blind side of the 50-metre channel, three on two, pass out in, bang. Simple. They went away from that and tried to play a game that the game it has to be played on its merits. And Ireland went away from that and allowed England to dominate and set the terms of engagement in terms of set piece to set piece to set piece. There's one stage Ireland went literally one end of the field to the other through a sloppy turnover on their own phase play in possession, should have scored a try. Suddenly you're talking 10-point turnover. That happened twice in the game. And that's just really, really poor game management from a lot of intelligent, experienced players. And it just, you know, it is extraordinary, like, that, you know, Paddy is lamenting after the biggest ever defeat in this imposing Empire Stadium that has inflicted such pain. But, you know, Ireland are being judged at the highest levels, and they will be seriously excoriating that performance in their view.
Yeah, Rory, I mean, at the hour mark when England got level, it didn't look inevitable at that stage that the extra man that Ireland had would count, but it did then towards the end. And we've been waiting for a game for subs to make their impact, and they really did today. The likes of Robbie Henshaw, Jack Conan scored the try, and Finlay Beelam got in with the try there as well. Was that the difference?
You're right, I'm one of those people who was lamenting the lack of impact off the bench, and I would have been quite critical on air this week talking about Rob Herring. And I would single him out in particular for praise. I thought he was exceptional today. And he made an impact in the way that we've never seen him make an impact before with Ireland, with his carry. He was vicious in the carry. And that's great. That's a player who's responding to kind of being left out of the 23 altogether. He's behind Ronan Kelleher and Dan Sheehan. I think he's probably played his way into the team now because Sheehan struggled at the scrum. I thought Herring was really, really good off the bench today. Really, really impressive. Sheehan did a lot well in the loose, but you know, he really stood out to me. Andrew Conway had a big role in it. Those 250-22s, I know he had a bad kick as well. He had a couple of mistakes, but I thought the second half was very, very good. But you're right that the bench came on and it did make a difference. Again, I thought Conor Murray's passing was pretty poor, but around him, others really, really made a contribution. And you could see that England, in that last 10 minutes, they'd given everything. I thought they were really good. I thought they really, really impressed me. I thought the toll jay was magnificent. But the toll of staying in the fight with 14 men for so long, just the toll, you know, it was too much for them at the end. And Ireland, they were smart. They spread the play. They kept carrying. They kind of found their game again in that last 10 minutes. And that's to be praised. I mean, I've been quite critical here, and I do feel like there's a lot to be critical of. But they found a way to win the game. And this is the first big win of the Andy Farrell era away from home.
And that way, I think, was, you know, it might emphasise to Andy Farrell, the coaching team, that, you know, sometimes you can marry the benefits of the Joe Smith era with this, the new expansive play that Andy Farrell is trying to implement, because, you know, they were so wayward and losing themselves in the first half, especially in the second half. Given, you know, you have to react to the game, and given the set piece nightmare that they have, you have to adapt and regain the composure. And, you know, a Joe Schmidt team would have been able to solve that out. And so I think it'll be an important lesson in terms of, you know, who'll gain more out of this going forward, World Cup, etc. Like, England will get a lot from this in terms of character. And, you know, we saw a couple of their attack shapes, which, you know, is the new England. Obviously, couldn't do it all game because you had the man down. In terms of Ireland, you kind of wonder, what will Ireland get out of this? I mean, possibly just straight off, they might learn that you've got to marriage the best of the old with the best of the new, and that, you know, in terms of game management, and when to know to close games down, and when to know, listen, if you're struggling with set piece, you have to play the game a different way. And they didn't. They eventually got there today against a tired England side, but the worry is that it took them so long to get there. But, you know, if you wait for a pint of Guinness and it takes about 30 seconds longer than you expect, it's still gorgeous.
Okay, Laz, well, I know you've got press conferences and everything to go to, so we'll just wrap up. Obviously, they're keeping the pressure on France at the top of the table with that bonus point win. There's a triple crown up for grabs when they play Scotland at the Aviva Stadium next weekend. So overall, how do you look on this in terms of next weekend's game now, Rory?
Well, look, there's an opportunity there to go and, you know, beat a Scottish team that Ireland should be beating. Scotland will be licking their lips at that scrum, and Scotland have a pretty decent scrum themselves. And that's going to be a challenge for Ireland to fix in 7 days. And, you know, I think everyone's going to look at that Irish scrum now as a real weakness without Andrew Porter. But, I mean, triple crowns are not to be sniffed at. It will be Ireland's first success since 2018. It will be a significant step along the road for this team. And you would not bet against England going to Paris based on that performance and the courage that they showed today and actually doing something quite special over there. I mean, this could be a moment for... I know they lost the game quite heavily in the end. But I think England will take an awful lot from today, and I think they'll take that to Paris. And if they play with that, like, I think if they'd had 15 men, they would have won this game.
Do you think so, Rory?
100%.
We don't know. We don't know. You don't know.
Well, obviously I don't know, but the way they went, maybe the red card just gave them that motivation to come together and
produce that
performance.
They're an average team.
Well, look, I think they could go to Paris and win. Like, France didn't impress me that much last night, and, you know, they only squeezed over line. France look a bit nervous at this stage, so. Ireland have a chance to win a title. They're going into the final game on the back of a record win. I'm sure they'll be spinning the positives now. We'll log on to these calls and start chatting to them. No doubt they'll focus on the fact that they've got a big scalp away from all a record win against England. And they're right, but if they're not internally looking at that scrum and trying to find props who are able to cope at this level, then they're going to have problems down the line, because injuries are going to happen, and you're not going to have Porter and Kelleher available every week. And that's a real concern going forward. But, you know, it's good to be learning while winning.
Okay, Rory and Dave, thanks for joining us. Well, that's it from us on The Left Wing Live. You get more reaction to tonight's game over at independent.ie. Bye for now.